Ready when you are.
Hello, and welcome to Enough Wicker, a podcast where we complete the puzzle as we discuss the greatest television show of all time, The Golden Girls. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're tackling the 158th episode in the series, That's for Me to Know.
I do enjoy this one. And it's funny because the title is always like, wait, what's this one?
Yeah,
Like,
I
it
agree.
obviously refers to what I would think is the B story of the Sophia and Guido, but it's really exciting because it's a great momentous moment in the girls' friendship of the move that they make to become landowners, the three of others,
Raise me some
but
rabbit.
as big as your head. Anyway.
I'll be playing soon.
Oh. Get off my property. Anyway, it's really good, and it's like the guy, who plays good old Don, it's like he just plays it really well of like just like a disaffected inspector
Yeah, he's a city
who like
employee. He didn't
also,
give a
yeah,
thought.
it's like perfect of just like, well, here's what I have to do. And then at the end it's like, no hard feelings, come over to the hot tub. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
It's just really like he could have been like a more of a hard line, but I think like the way he plays it perfect, like seamlessly works with, obviously keeping the other ladies as the stars and the focus. But I don't know. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I love it. It's so Rose to be like, well,
Yes.
you'll need a permit. And I feel like very, very beginning too of like her being like, excuse me, you made a mistake. That's actually, and in the grocery
Yes.
store, like
Exactly,
she's
exactly.
just America's Girl Scout. And I do think it's interesting that she, which we'll get into, but so she calls and she like, kind of basically really creates this problem. And like, I guess you could make the
Yeah.
ethical argument that like it's on Blanche, but actually, I don't know. It's not something that's going to cause a problem for anyone else. Like, in my opinion, Blanche is like fine to proceed. But anyway, so Rose makes this call and does it. But I think where, and it's not often that I think this happens, but they go totally out of her character when they're on the lanai and they're discussing like who should move out. And Rose is like, Sophia should move out. You just kind of brought her here. Like, you're the one, like to Dorothy. And it's just so not like her to not, I'm not even saying she needs to like throw herself on the sword necessarily, but
Yeah.
it's just not Rose to point the finger and be like, no, that person should move out because she was last and we didn't plan for this. It's just like not, that's not Minnesota. That's not Rose.
I
And
know.
it's like totally like, it's not even like competitive. Like nothing's driving it. It's just
Well,
to get out
I
of
would
it.
argue it is kind of competitive only because we have seen Rose get really irate in two, or not irate, really panicked, I would say, which turns into her being irate. That's how she expresses it. Panic in two situations. One, when she's being hyper competitive, and two, when she's worried about her future and housing. And I think that in this
That's true.
situation, she's really concerned because deep down she probably also knows that yes, she did sort of make this problem. The problem was sort of her own doing, however honest Girl Scout she was. But like the you know, it's sorry, Sunshine Cadets, not Girl Scouts,
Yeah.
but she like is sort of like, yeah, I don't think she necessarily thinks it through to like, because kicking Sophia out, that's like to your point, that's not at all in her character. But I think she is sort of panicking in a way of like, well, it's not me, it's not me, I'm fine, I have to live here, because she doesn't really know what else to do. So that's at least the vague excuse I can give it. But along those lines, I do agree that, like, I don't know, the voting thing always really upsets me because it's very, it's just rude. I mean, it's rude to Dorothy, but it's just rude all in general that, like, they would all do that to her. And it feels not great from a Rose perspective either. I don't know. It's there's a lot there that just, like, makes me sad and sort of plays into this whole, like, final season of the show and how they are writing B. Arthur, too. So.
Yeah, and like I think that is sort of like a classic example, and like it's delivered in a really funny way. I think Rue McClanahan kills it when she's reading it, and then she begins to realize that like the third vote is for Dorothy, and then the last one she's like Dorothy, you know, like she does a great job with the delivery being funny,
literally perfect.
But it's not, it's like too mean, and it's too
exactly.
It's not strategic at all, and like you can't really have an anonymous vote with four people, like it's not, it doesn't make sense, and it's not like, you know, not that everything needs to be rooted in reality, but it just isn't what they would do, and especially after right. We've gotten to know them, and like I do, you know, we'll definitely get into, like it is a big ask to own the house with Blanche.
I do enjoy that, like, Dorothy acknowledges that, right? Like, they actually have that line, which is really nice.
Yeah. But it just, it seems like they would have worked up to something like that rather than just, like, we're going to vote somebody out, you know? Like,
totally.
It's not, totally. It doesn't really work for me, but.
Yeah, I know. It's, like, it's a shame, and to your point, like, it is done very funny, especially when she's like, well, I didn't want to sweep to hurt her feelings. I think that would hurt. You're like, it does, you know?
Yeah.
Like, played really well, but again, it's almost similar to the last episode. We were having the conversation of like Sophia, like, is funny, but like she was still being really harsh in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And like it's sort of the same thing here. There's just a vibe is off, is like the best way.
Yeah. And I think like that's sort of how it goes for the rest of the season a little bit, is like,
yes, yeah.
Nobody's gonna, like, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and deny that it's often funny when they're making fun of Dorothy. And if you just take it as what it is, it's funny. But if you think a little bit more deep, like, you know, if you get into any sort of like also pattern of behavior, then it becomes like you can see that it's not so light, and there's a change in tone almost. But I think honestly, like, it's just another, you know, in praise of the show to say like they're doing it, but they're continuing to be funny with it. So it and that maybe totally. That also makes it more palatable as you're watching it live and you're not sort of critiquing it to see it, versus like if they weren't doing it in a funny way, like all you would have to take away is like, wow, they're really being mean to Dorothy.
For sure. But it is, to your point, like the cumulative effect, right? Again, like we're binge watching the show with everyone. And it's like, you can see it happening again and again. So it's really, yeah. But you're right. It's like there's something that has shifted a bit, where previously the, like, I guess jibes were always like, always felt like it actually had a place. And this one, you're just like, did you really just jump to voting people off the island, to your point? Yeah. It's kind of fascinating. Oh gosh. But it is a great scene. I mean, it's really, really funny how they play it. But again, you know, I think, all right, let's go back to like the actual reasoning behind this, right? They need to make improvements to the house. Blanche needs to make improvements to the house because you can't rent to more than two people without improvements to a situation. But it's like, I assume, like, all right, boarding house licenses, there must be like, I don't know, multiple bathrooms or something. Is that what it's supposed to be? Because, well, right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But it's like, is it because of each unit? But like, that's not what a boarding house is. It's like a bathroom at the end of the hallway. So, but it's funny. I actually went down this rabbit hole on the current like Miami-Dade County like website, City of Miami, like trying to figure out like what like a landlord would have to do, right, to like have so many. But it's so funny. Everything is so vague. Like it really is just in the hands of like whoever knows the building code, like the housing code.
Rose.
There's this great, yeah, Rose, exactly. This is going to sound like Rose, but it also is just straight from the website, where it's like, at all times during the tenancy, the landlord of a single family home or duplex shall comply with the requirements of applicable building, housing, or health codes, which like right there, you're like, but what are the codes?
Yeah.
What do you need? Or where there are no applicable building, housing, or health codes, maintain the plumbing in reasonably good working condition. Of course, she had her tenants do that.
Uh-huh.
Maintain the roof. Also had her tenants do that.
Thanks, Jasper.
Windows, screens, floors, steps, porches, exterior walls, foundations, and all other structural components in good repair and capable of resisting normal forces and loads. The end. I feel like it's so funny. Like they've literally gone through like a roofing and a plumbing thing, which are the two major components of this. So that's why I'm just like, I even like disagree with the entire premise anyway. Like Blanche refers to in the beginning of this episode, of them like building the hot tub as opposed to like installing one, right? So I assume that she's building like a deck around it or something, which is what this like, you know, primary dwelling 5 feet thing is from. But it is funny how much I've been thinking about this of like, but really, like, what does she need to do that's going to run her that much money?
Yeah, I do wonder that also, because they have 4 bedrooms. They have at least 2 bathrooms. It seems like it would be all good, but
right.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's kind of funny, right? But it is funny too, because it's like the owning the, I don't know. I guess it couldn't, in my mind, it's like a more modern spin would be like, well, the two of them have to get like domestically partners.
Yeah. There's definitely ways around it.
Exactly. But anyway, that all being said, I do appreciate that, you know, idea comes up. I do appreciate the acknowledgement of that's a huge ask, right? And it takes a big like mental change for Blanche to do it. And I love that she gets there on her own, where she's just like, no, like if this is my black and white choice, like I obviously choose to have these women live with me still. But I do, I love it, because I love that this is, it's a big moment in their friendship. It's momentous, right? It's really, that is like, not that you need the fucking, you know, government to like approve of your relationships, but we do live in a society where something like a marriage certificate or something like we both co-own property together and like is a bigger step than others, right? Like there's something about officialness in this case, one, because it doesn't get them kicked out, but two, that to your point, it's a really big ask to share equity with somebody. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, this also raises some questions about Blanche's financial situation, because I want to once again just explore the fact that like her family they're portrayed as very wealthy, not like 1%, but like comfortable, like, you know, maybe like Mitt Romney, you know, like not quite John Kerry, but maybe they're like in the Romney circle. But anyway, obviously a very different type of Republican. It seems to me that they come from some money. She says that she lived in this house with George. So like she had this house presumably when she also was living in Atlanta some of the time, whatever. My main question is like, how is the mortgage not paid off? Because like, I don't know, maybe she made bad investments a la Rose and the estate papers. But I just like, I continue to be like, it just doesn't add up. And then also, not that she would just have $10,000, but like, I don't know, what are her expenses? I have a lot of questions about Blanche's financial situation. It doesn't, the loops aren't closed.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, the mortgage thing, I guess even if she lived there with George, assuming like a 30-year, he's only been really dead for what, 7 or 8, something like that? She had roommates before the girls, right? So that was, you know, those 2 weird women who used to bathe together. There's like, you know, there's a little buffer room there. I can see the mortgage not being paid off, because that also is something that for a lot of people you just set and forget, and it's such a big chunk, you're not gonna like prepay more than you need to in most cases. But yeah, I mean, in general, like Blanche's financial situation is a huge question mark, particularly because she only has to work, you know, the grueling 15 hours a week or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, you know, we haven't heard that she got the, you know, antiquities assistant job yet. So Kendall's still stringing her along for that. She clearly hasn't been traveling abroad lately.
All right. Well, just glad we got that out there.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. So first, the intro, when I think it's Rose, is like, it seems to be the different recycling is sorted. The baskets, did you take note of that at all? There's like 3 different baskets. Good for them.
Well, what's really funny is, so Golden Girls Fashion Corner, run by Claire, it has a post that's actually on I forget the site, but it's linked to on her site on Golden Girls Fashion Corner, where she actually wrote about how she could tell a certain screen grab was actually from season 7 because of the recycling baskets, which is really interesting, right? Like, what an addition, right? We're in the 90s. Woo, crazy stuff. Wow. We're in the 90s with the recycling basket as well as Hispanic jumping beans, which is like It's such the turn. A PC joke. Oh my god. It's like Matt, like joking about being politically correct, which is like, I can't. I still am so angry that we ran, like, grew up with that framing for not treating people like not humans. Anyway.
Yeah. Now we have the fucking governor of Florida.
Totally. But actually, so the recycling basket thing is interesting. You notice in the beginning, because there's also an extra long delay from when the music fades out and the dialogue starts. Did you notice that too?
Yeah. Because, like, Rose gets up and like throw something away. Like there's a lot of stuff happening.
Like they're calling attention to it, right? Yeah, there's a lot of motion.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was just like they miscalculated the timing or like the music when they applied it. They were like, that's all we've got. And then it's just like there's like an extra 6 seconds. It's like really weird. Kind of like if you see a play and you're just like, okay, when is this gonna start? There's people moving on stage, but what's going on?
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so that happens, and then there's a mention of Dreyfus that's kind of there's a mention of Dreyfus that's like in passing, which I think is again like nodding to the fact that like Dreyfus is somebody that we know at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
It's his name. And I love
those crossovers. Get those crossover points,
right? Matt Browning. So they also like Dorothy going back to like tracing her roots and sort of like, you know, creating this family history. Like that's in line. We've seen her do this. And similar things in the past. I think Dorothy has sort of a sense of responsibility to it, which kind of makes sense too when you think about her personality and like her sort of realistic relationship with aging and like, you know, wanting to pass things down. But I was really I love the show Finding Your Roots on PBS with Henry Louis Gates Jr. So a plug for that. But it's honestly really amazing to just think about how far we've come with like the capabilities of tracing your family tree. So on Finding Your Roots, they do a lot of forensic genealogy. So like, you know, at this time, you really could only go by the records you could find. But now they can test, you know, like 23andMe, like they can test your DNA and like figure out who you're related to.
Oh,
and it's just, you know, it's cool to see something. I don't know that we've ever actually had this, but like a scientific development that's so tangible and now is such a part of everyday life. Like it's a clear sort of a depiction of that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I think everything is super in line with what, you know, like, again, Dorothy would want to know and dig into. She would definitely be a 23andMe. It was an option for her. but what, so there's a few things going on here with like the discovery, right? One, it kind of rewrites, you know, the Sophia Sal thing in general, but also like, you know, the leaving an arranged marriage. Like she's also said before that her and Sal were in arranged marriage, right? But like they learned to love each other, right? It's like, we're all over the place here. So it's kind of funny because like the resolution, you're like, ooh, this is interesting intrigue for the fans. And then at the end, they're like, arranged marriage. And you're like, oh, damn it. We've already kind of gone over this already.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hilarious. But also like, oh my God, there's like another joke about kidnapping and raping a woman, right? Where it's like, that's how your parent, you know, my parents met. And you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ, guys, you know, like as funny as a calamari wagon reference is, it's just one of those where you're just like, oh, I don't want that to be.
Yeah. Could have easily not.
But like then you got the Hispanic jumping beans thing. Then you got the like the doctor on our prepaid health plan says you're healthy as a camel. Then like Lance just comes in and is like, construction workers are dumb as stumps. And you're like, all right, everybody, calm down.
Yeah.
It's a rough run.
Yeah, no, there's a lot, and it's I think it's like especially like difficult for us because like at first you're like, okay, the prepaid health plan is so bad. But then when Sophia's like, you can actually see the doctor if you pay an extra $5, it's like, okay, so you're jabbing at the healthcare system, which like we're into, but like it goes back to being racist real quick. And then like Mexican jumping beans, Hispanic jumping beans, it's like I don't know. It is a real back and forth. I feel like I'm like, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's bad. Oh, that's funny. Like,
no, totally. I know. It's like, it's so, you're having moments of just like groans plus giggles. That's really, it's really interesting. So also the in this sort of volleying back and forth of laughter and things like that, it does get, I think, a more innocent, like, once, you know, we get to the scene where, like, you know, we're talking about the box and obviously Dorothy's like, you know, trying to open it and unlock it and everything. But I love when Rose is just like, finds it. She's like, how? She's like, where'd you get this? She's like, oh, it's just under my bed playing. And there it was. Get back to the good old wholesome jibes. Oh my God. It's so perfect. That one's really like the Betty White delivery too is like better than it ever could have been written down on the page.
It just breathes. It's just in there. Yep. Also, when earlier when she's talking about how it's easy to trace her lineage because everybody in St. Olaf goes to the same brother and sister.
Oh my God. Well, I guess that completes the puzzle. It's really great.
So earnest.
Another wonderful scene, of course, me being grammar nerd like Dorothy, thinking diagramming sentences is fun, is I can't believe she said that! Exclamation point. Who's to say? Question mark. New paragraph. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, and it's kind of like Rose sort of sets her up to just like spike it, you know? Because like,
yes,
Rose
exactly.
is really funny. Like her response is great, but then Dorothy just takes it out, you know.
Oh God, yeah, it's another one of those, like, just like you have the punchline, then it's another punchline. It's it's so wonderful, so wonderful. But yeah, so the the whole like animosity of like Dorothy and Sophia, like, excuse me, Snoop, you know, there's real love here. It's really
Lizard,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect. But it is like this storyline represents one of those, like, there is intrigue, as I mentioned before, and then you're like, oh, it's just a guy you were betrothed to, whatever. It is interesting enough and not harmful of like the Sophia not wanting Dorothy to know this and then Dorothy like snooping around, and like it is a good, for me, it's a good animosity, right? It's like they're not being particularly harsh to one another, as we were like referencing before. Like, I like this, the interplay where they're actually like, you know, yelling at each other and calling each other lizard. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and I think it's like, I think it also works because it's easy to see both sides. And I think, like, you know, I don't know, you're a parent, so I would defer to you, but like I'm a child, and like I think there are things that my parents, I'm sure,
I'm a child
from me, I have been you know, like, I'm sure there are things my parents have kept from me about their personal lives, which is fine. But, and, you know, and then when Blanche is like, you hide things from her all the time, and Dorothy's like, well, yeah, but she doesn't know that. It's like,
totally, it's brilliant. But it, like, it's true though, right? Where you're just like, when something is out of the bag even part way, like, you kind of have to open it up, because otherwise it's going to drive a wedge. But I mean, it's different. I don't know. I can't be the judge of anything right now because I only have a 3-year-old as my oldest. Like, it's a little different when you have a 60-year-old and you like are gonna die soon to like confess other things, you know. But I understand, like, of Sophia's embarrassment, especially also wanting to like write the, you know, just like having a legacy that's something you're proud of, right? It's harder to just be like, well, let me tell you this thing that I kind of find embarrassing, that, you know, is part of my life story as well.
Yeah. And like wanting to keep some of the stuff for yourself that you have conflicting feelings about, or like are embarrassed about, or like, frankly, just don't want to explain. I think also, like, with an adult child, I imagine it's harder to navigate that, especially when there's like no question about Dorothy's like maturity level. Like, Dorothy is like a, you know, a fully
formed adult.
Yeah,
there's no question.
But it's exactly. Still like, you know, what are the ethics of that? And like, how much of your life do you get to keep to yourself when you have somebody who's your equal in a lot of ways? And so, you know, and I also get Dorothy's, I mean, one, I get Dorothy being a snoop, which, like, I would want to, maybe with a butter knife.
I know, I can totally see you in that.
It's definitely something that I would need to know. But also, like, from a more...
I can't lie to you, it's mine.
Like, a, you know, a sort of deeper level, it's like, what is that? And if your mom was married before, like, you maybe would feel like you had the right to know, even if...
Yep.
You know, I don't know. It's very complicated. And I think it's also a conflict that, like, isn't... There's no like sinister motives. It's all just like truly trying to protect or trying to find something out. So it's a little easier to stomach than some of their other fights, I think, or a little easier to just like, you know, it's hard. It's complex.
Exactly. And I also think that there is like, there's some degree of like, well, if she doesn't know by now, like how it's even more embarrassing for me to tell her now, you know, like, yeah, it's definitely. Like, there's, I have to tell a friend of mine's story. So she had two parents who were doctors, and she was like coming home. I think she was a preteen or a teenager, whatever it was. She was like in total, like sassafras, like sarcastic mode. And she came in, I guess with a babysitter, and like after school, and her mom came home, or her mom was there, the babysitter was sort of hanging out. And because her parents were doctors, they actually had this like, you know, sort of scale model of like a spinal column in their house. You know, doctors have weird shit. yeah, I know, you would have loved it. The babysitter, I guess, had never been there before or something, and was just like, oh my gosh, like, what's that? You know, just like commenting. And my friend, being like the sassy teenager she was like, oh, that's the spinal cord from my dad's first wife, like just being a jerk, right? And her mom goes, oh no, she's still alive. And that is how my friend found out that her father was married before.
Wow.
She actually didn't know.
You did it to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. She found on herself, which is just so funny. So she's like, wait, what? And then her mom's like, wait, what? You didn't know? Like, she was being sarcastic. Like, wow. She's like, oh my god, I thought like dad might have said something. So like, but that makes sense to me, because then you're like, okay, teen, right? That's when, and I can imagine as a parent when I get there, right, there's certain things you don't say, and then there's other things you probably just forget to tell, like my dad forgetting to tell me when I was like 18 that he had like driven Bruce Springsteen in his car and had pizza with Aerosmith. These are like major winning points with your teenage daughter who thinks you're lame, you know, kind of situation here. You know, it's just like, he never thought to tell me, or like, it just didn't come up, right? You don't keep like a running list of like the things that you need to share most of the time, right? So it's like, you can, I'm accused of this too, just casually, where I have like really fun stories that some people who've known me for years have never heard. And they're just like, how has this not come up? I'm like, I don't know. It just never came up to mind. I didn't have like a punch list that I failed to mention, right? So I can see it happening, and I can see it being like a thing that, you know, in when your child is your equal in most ways as an adult, et cetera, that you're just like, well, we never talked about it. So now it's even weirder. And it's something that you're embarrassed about. Or that you would rather not be like in your obituary, you know?
Yeah.
So what's the harm in leaving it alone? But the harm, of course, is like when your daughter finds out a small piece of it and then obviously chases you down. So,
yeah,
I do like how Dorothy loops it around at the end though, to like say that she's actually really proud of her.
It's nice. Yeah, definitely. It's a nice closer. And I think they do a good job with it. And Sophia also like, expressing like why she didn't want her to know, and like why she doesn't want anyone else to know, and like, you know, the evolution of like what's socially acceptable. Like, I think there's bigger things there, but I think all, like, you know, the crux of the issue is like how, if Sophia forgot to tell her, but Sophia was actively hiding it, which I think also makes it a little bit more like, one, interesting to Dorothy to find out, and two, like, it speaks more to the weight that Sophia has. You know, I don't think she's like staying up all night being like, how do I make sure Dorothy doesn't find this out? But it's just something that she probably doesn't think about anymore. Like, you know, it was so long ago. Her life has been built, you know, fully without
a lot more to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. So I imagine it's like, yeah, she forgot maybe that it was even going to come up. But then when the possibility of it is like, she's really trying to keep it locked down. I think it's a you can see both sides for sure. But yeah, I mean, I would 100% have been Dorothy. Like, what?
Yeah, there's, you know, no way.
When she's like coughing with Rose's diary too, like.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So relatable.
Oh gosh, but you're also Sophia with the get off my property thing, because I
really
can imagine you. So, oh, so perfect.
I'll be playing.
I do. Yeah. So she funny. Puts her hand up.
Yeah,
it's really great.
I finally made it.
I know, exactly. Which, oh man, talk about a relatable line for me. I was just like, I wonder how old I'll be when I am, if I ever will. Family of four. Which is another thing that's really funny about just like the improvements made to this. What is it? A fucking 2,000 square foot house, 2,500 yeah. square feet. Like I live in 600 square feet with four people.
Yeah.
In one bedroom. Anyway. I do like so the end too, where you know, they get off my property and they're trying to resolve it and everything, and like she's explaining the situation. And Dorothy's like, and she's like, and I shot him just to watch him die. What do you mean? And? Yeah. It's really a great little Johnny Cash plug right there. It's great.
Yeah.
So funny. The other lines that we didn't talk about that I do love is when you know, Blanche is like, well, I'm going to catch him, but you're going to sleep with him. Because, like, blaming Rose, it's really perfect. Also, just like Blanche being just like so ready to jump in the hot tub, like at any time with her outfits. It's like really amazing. And I also like the guess what I have under my robe? That guy from the circus. It's really, really exciting. It like really takes your mind in like a lot of different directions. You know what I mean? Good old contortionism. But yeah, but anyway, I enjoy this one. I love it. And I think, like I said before, it's like, you know, vote for friendship. Like,
yeah,
good job. Even though everybody wanted to kick Dorothy out, they did an excellent job with coming to what I believe is the right, conclusion so that the city of Miami can get off and back.
Yeah. And good for Blanche. I have a couple other lines. I mean, it's not in yet, Don. That is,
yeah. Oh my God, right?
That's such a great line, and it is one of the lines from the show that like will come up on Twitter or like, you know, somebody will say it or text it or something, and you read it in the cadence that it's delivered, and like
exactly,
it's just like what a just simple words, you know, but like the inflection that you know it's being said with is.
Totally. Yeah, that feels like a really solid reply.
Yeah. I also love when Sophia's like in and out and she's like, all the shrimp you can eat.
Yeah.
Baronic Scandinavian nitwit, and then Rose is like, she's talking about me, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that one's classic.
Yeah, I mean, and then of course, like what we talked about, like the just like them walking by and insulting each other, and she's like, it's real love.
It's amazing. It's so great. Again, another great example of really solid TV writing where like the storylines intersect. Like it's really magnificent. I'm very like satisfied with like all the time of the plots sort of colliding in later seasons for the show. It's great. Oh, is that all you got?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, next time we're going to discuss the intimacy of baseball and why cantaloupe has no place in a fruit salad. Take care, everybody.